Is this on?
All right. I'm checking this out. This is cool. We need to get one of these.
So, hey, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Genesis chapter 21. And while you're turning there, a couple things that I just wanted to bring up is, number one, once again, we need to thank all of the people who have been serving this week, or, you know, the last few days. What an incredible thing, huh? I always get jealous because they always have these really cool, you know, different shirts. They're the only ones who get the special shirts. And I always think, man, I want one of those. And they say, okay, we'll go take out the trash and we'll give you one. And so this morning I took out the trash and I still didn't get one, but they got me to take out the trash. But anyway, hey, it's great. And, you know, I get to come to Tucson occasionally and share. And this is a great body, this body of believers here in Tucson. What you see them, some of us who are not from this area, what you see them doing these last 3 days, they do all the time. This is church to them, and this is what they do. And it, you know, it's a reflection on the great pastor that they have and how he cares for them and feeds them. So again, thank Robert for putting this on and making this available for us. It's great. All right. Are you ready? You know, it's funny, they asked me what my title was, and if you're from Sierra Vista, you guys know, I don't do titles. Like, my title is Genesis 21. And they go, no, seriously, Pat, what's your title? So here's what I did. I took that title. I took the promise, and I said, that's my title. And they said, what is your title? And I said, the promise. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we do thank you once again, God, just for letting us get away as a group, Lord. And God, that we could just steal away these last 2.5 days or whatever it's been, God. And Lord, thank you for the men who have prepared and studied and taught us and brought forth your word, God, to minister to us. And we pray that, Lord, I know sometimes you kind of hit this day and it's sort of the wind down day. And Lord, I pray that you would still speak to us, that our hearts would be prepared and ready to receive what you have for us. And Lord, that we would be excited, God, as we leave here, that we would be men and women built up in our most holy faith to go and do the ministry that you've given us to do. And so again, I ask that as we look here at the promise, Lord, that you would just, Lord, encourage our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, what blows my mind is Genesis 21 follows Genesis 20. Now, not the numerical thing. Some of you go, dude. And yeah, I'm from Bisbee, and you know, some of that stuff's hard for us. But the fact that what happens in chapter 20, and then we see 21, and Robert touched on it just as he was kind of introducing things. Here's the crazy thing. Abraham has blown it big time, right? 21, you guys remember it was Brian did 21 where he went and did the Abimelech thing, and everything went kind of crazy. And then, listen, then we go into 20. And God, listen, God forgets all about 21. How cool is that? God forgets all about the fact that Abraham blew it so big time in 20, and he fulfills the promise that he gave him 25 years ago in 21. And you and I, listen, I know that when we blow it, at least when I blow it, I know that there's that part of me that just thinks, that's it, God. How could you ever use me again? How could you ever let me teach your word? How could you ever let me get in front of people? Look what I've just done. And, you know, bottom line, that's the devil coming at me. And the Lord says, like we sang a minute ago, oh, how I love you. I just love you, Pat. And you know what? It's okay. Let's clean you up, dust you off, just like we do with our little guys, and let's get going again. So check out verse 1. Listen, it says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. A couple things in that first verse is, as he had said and as he had spoken. If God has said it, it's done. And you and I need to realize that. Listen, God said this how many years ago?
Abraham's been waiting 25 years. I can't imagine waiting that long. And it's not been quite 25 since I've been at Calvary Chapel Sierra Vista, but it's been about that long. And I can't imagine if God had given me some promise when I started, and right now he's fulfilling it. Like, I'm not that patient. I am so impatient. I thought I met my match on patience when I met Robert Furrow. He's not the most patient guy in the world. I think if you've been around him, you know that. And I thought, wow, Robert's even more impatient than I am. Not true. We were on a trip a while back, and we're waiting in line to, you know, at the TSA doing the thing, and I'm like this. And Robert's next to me, he goes, "Is that helping?" And I go, "No, but I feel better doing it, you know." 25 years, that is like, to me, an eternity. 25 years, and it's, you know what's amazing is you and I, we started Monday afternoon, and we've gone through 25 years of Abraham's life. We do it kind of quick, right? So I think we read our Bibles and we go, well, man, it's just like what's from chapter 12 to chapter 21. Wasn't that long? Didn't take me that long to read. 25 years. And then here's the thing that I love. And then it just starts out in verse 1 so simply, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said and as he had spoken. If God has said it, it's going to happen. You and I need to realize that in our lives and in our ministries. And we need to count on that. Listen, if God is showing you something and giving you something, you need to hang on to that. I don't care what the devil tells you. I don't care if it takes 25 years. You need to hang on to it. So then it says, listen, then it says in verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. Listen, the Lord had the time all along, right? You notice when he gave Abraham the promise, he didn't tell him how long was it going to take to fulfill the promise. God doesn't do that, does he? He gives us a promise, but he doesn't say, oh, by the way, you're going to have to wait 25 years. Because if he told most of us that, we would give up, right? I'm not waiting 25 years. If he told me I had to wait 25 years, I'd be doing this. Trying to see when it's coming. But here's the thing that I love. God said it as though 25 years ago he said it, as though it's now. Why? Because you know what? 25 years in the future is now with God. You know, it kind of amazes me. Sometimes people say God predicts the future. No, he doesn't. He makes the future. He's the one who's going to make it happen. If he spoke that to Abraham, guess what? 25 years ago, he said, here's what's going to happen. You can write it down. It's going to happen. You may not be sure when. And listen, just as God had spoken, Sarah conceived that child, just as God had told him, exactly the way the Lord told him. And listen, you got to get this couple. So you come out of the Abimelech era where you're sinning like crazy, and you kind of come into this thing, and it doesn't really tell us how long, but it wasn't long. Between 20 and 21. And now all of a sudden, woohoo, it's the day you've been waiting 25 years for. And Sarah conceives, and then it says, verse 3, it says, and Abraham called his name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. He laughed. You know, every time they called their son, they thought of that day when God made the promise, and they laughed. One of them laughed out of joy. The other laughed out of, for sure? Every time they saw that boy. But now, listen, now they're holding the promise. And you know, I believe some of us in ministry, we've gotten promises from God. And you know what? Today we're holding that promise. We came to this conference. We were stoked. God gave us the promise. And we're holding little Isaac. And we're going, check out Isaac. And you know, even some people we've talked to, we've told them, you should see Isaac. Look, here's Isaac. No, we're not having Isaac, but we got the promise, right? And someone comes up, hey, how's it going? Oh, man, you wouldn't believe how good it's going. God has done what he said he was going to do. And you're sharing with one another, encouraging one another. The guy you're talking to may not be as encouraged as you are, but you're stoked about it. And you have that Isaac. Yes, He fulfilled the promise. Can you imagine, Sarah, when I was looking at this this morning, I was thinking about Daniel talking about going to his grandparents and asking them if they were ready to have a baby and, you know, that whole thing. And then I got this picture as I'm reading this, grandma holding a baby. Now, I don't know Daniel's grandma. I haven't met her, but I'm thinking, here she is. Listen, Sarah's 90 years old. Look at my baby. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? When you get that mental picture for a moment and just get a hold of it, and she's, listen, this is my baby laughter. This is my baby we laughed. And then here's the next thing. Listen, they're holding the baby. They're going along. And then 8 days later, we go at least 8 days. It says, then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old as God had commanded him. What does Abraham do? Here's an important aspect. Don't miss this. When God fulfills the promise, then you need to be obedient. Hey, oftentimes we get a promise from God and we're going, woohoo! And then, listen, and then we just go along, woohoo! And God says, wait, I gave you that promise and I fulfilled that promise so you would do something with the promise. What does Abraham do? He circumcised this boy at 8 days old. Do you realize something? This is the first time a baby's ever been circumcised in the Bible. This is it. This is number one. Man, Isaac's the first baby circumcised. And Abraham is faithful. God said to do this. And, you know, and I know Daniel kind of did the whole thing and we kind of had a great time with it and that was fun. But listen, I'm thinking of this whole thing. If it was crazy for them to do it, can you imagine getting your 8-day-old baby and doing it? Not in a hospital, not with the doctor, not with all the modern technology. You get the flint knife that Daniel tried to bring to us and got caught at TSA. But listen, you get the flint knife and you circumcise a little baby boy. None of us want to hurt our babies, do we? And especially when they're 8 days old, they're brand new. I remember when our daughter was born and we're so excited and, you know, we're young and parents and woohoo! And those of you who have your first one, I remember the nurse came and said, okay, you can take Gainell and the baby home. And I went, can they stay? I got to thinking in my head at that moment, this is not a puppy. I don't know how to take care of a baby. I've never had one of these, right? And you're so gentle and you're so careful. And if you know my wife, she's a little bit of a germaphobe. And so, you know, you had to go through a sterilization process and a shower and get decontaminated to go into the room with the baby when Leah was small. And she would say, you can't go in there. Have you gone through the whatever you call it? No? Well, you can't go in the room. And she's that way. And here's what I'm thinking. What would have she done if I'd gone with a flint knife? Hey, honey. See, we read that stuff and we don't think about it, do you? You moms. Hey, you moms. Your husband comes in with a flint knife at 8 days old. Are you going to say, oh, yeah, sure, honey, go ahead and do that. Whatever you do, just do it and get it done and let's move on. So listen, but Abraham's faithful. And something to notice, too, it was at 8 days. Why? Because that's what God commanded. Now, I love it when people try and give God all these excuses for why he said 8 days. Well, medically speaking, blah, 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 blah. You know why God said 8 days? Because God said 8 days. That's why. And here's what we need to know about Abraham. It wasn't day 7, and it wasn't day 9. It was 8 days. Do you think that maybe Abraham learned something back in chapter 20, one of his last failures? Do you think finally Abraham's got it together? I'm going to obey God. Day 8, I'm circumcising that child. I'm going to do exactly what God says. And why does God make promises to us? So that we would fulfill them and we would carry them out and we would do them. And listen, so what? You failed. I don't care if you failed last week. I don't care. You know what? Get up and get going and start serving him today. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Today is the day that we can serve him. Don't let the enemy beat you up. Don't do it. And you know what? Get up and be obedient today. Don't dwell on what happened yesterday or last week. Get with
today. So he circumcises the child. And can you imagine the joy in this family at this moment? How happy they were and all of this stuff going on. And everybody is like just, yes. We have the child. We have the promise. And, you know, listen, we've been waiting 3 days for the promise, right? And if you're like me, I'm kind of stoked. I was glad to get to chapter 21. Yes, not that I'm teaching it, but just to get there. And listen, then it says in verse 5, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. All who are here will laugh with me. And she also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah should nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Are you getting the idea that they're realizing God is faithful? God is faithful every day, all of the time. You and I need to understand that, and we need to hang on to that. And you know what? We need to be a little bit blown away by his faithfulness. This is no small act. Do you notice we got their ages again? 190. My dad just turned 90 last September, and we had a party for him. And, you know, how cool it is to see your dad reach that age and get to that age and still be, you know, okay. And I do call him old now. I mean, you're 90, you're old, you can own that, right? And so, you know, but how cool that is. And you know what? These guys are old. They're old. I don't think nobody would be insulted if they're 100 years old and you go up to them and say, you're old. They go, I know I'm old, right? 190. And yet, God was faithful. And God met their promise. And you know, some of us were still wondering, has he forgotten me? Maybe even in our ministry, has he forgotten me in my ministry? Like, I'm going away, and I know when I went out to do whatever I went out to do, whether it was within a ministry or if you moved to a city or whatever you went, and you stepped out in faith and you felt like God really called you to do it, and maybe today he hasn't fulfilled that promise yet. Doesn't mean he's not going to. Means not yet, right? He's going to get there and he's going to fulfill it. Check out this. I want to read you this in Titus. Listen to what Paul says in Titus. He says, I, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life. Now listen, here's what we want to hear. Which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God gave you and I a promise before time began that we would have eternal life. Wow. What did Levi tell us? Just be glad you're going to heaven. You know what? If you wake up every day stoked about going to heaven, that's a good day, right? And you're going to go to heaven. That's number one promise. And then listen, if God is faithful to that, he will be faithful to every other promise. So Abraham and Sarah are like rejoicing and they're happy. And, you know, it's like some of us here today. God has fulfilled things. God has done things in our ministry there in Sierra Vista that I never even imagined he would do. And he's done some incredible stuff for us and through us in that community. And we're able to be a light in the community. And you know, I look up and every day when I wake up, I kind of just like pinch myself. You know, I used to hear Pastor Chuck say that. I used to hear Pastor Chuck say, I wake up and I pinch myself. And I think, sure. I wake up and pinch myself just to see if I'm alive. And then God starts fulfilling the promise and you go, wow, this is abundantly more than I ever expected. I can't believe. And you really start pinching yourself and you're excited about it. And here's what I know, man. Once we start pinching ourselves, there's a danger in that. And once we get to that place where we know God is doing something, now, listen, now comes not necessarily the attack from the enemy. Now comes a battle that you and I all have to fight. These guys are rejoicing. They're celebrating. They got this 8-year-old, and then they got a 1-year-old, then they got a 2-year-old, then they got a 3-year-old, and everything is woohoo in the house of Abraham, right? Yes! And then look what happens, verse 8. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Listen, he loves this boy. As a matter of fact, now they're in party mode, right? Now it's like, man, my son is being weaned, which tells us he's like close to 3 years old, probably three. And everybody's having a party, man. It's like, you know, it's like when that thing happens in our life and we own it and maybe we possessed it for a while and God is using it. And we're rejoicing that God is using it and we're having a party. And then all of a sudden in our lives, we have this enemy that we have to fight. It's called the flesh. And especially I'm talking to those in pastoral ministry where God is using you maybe as a senior pastor, a lead pastor, whatever term you want to use. And God begins to use you and you begin to minister to people and you begin to encourage people and people are getting changed. People are getting saved and you're seeing God do things. And then all of a sudden this ugly, ugly thing and you're rejoicing in the middle of a party and this ugly thing called the flesh comes along. Not the devil. The flesh. And look what happens. They're rejoicing at a party. They're having this tremendous feast. And it said, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. There's the flesh, right? We've talked about that. We brought up this person, right? This is Ishmael. And here's a fascinating thing. In this section, he's like the main character, Ishmael is, but his name is never mentioned. Never even has his name. It's like the son of, like that makes it better or worse, I don't know. But they don't bring up his name. But listen, all of a sudden, the flesh rears its ugly head, and then we have this battle, the spirit against the flesh. Later on for homework, write this down. For homework, you can read Galatians chapter 4. Talks all about this battle of the flesh. Uses this exact illustration, talking about that. Goes back to this and talks about the battle that we have against the flesh. Ishmael representing the flesh and Isaac representing the spirit. And you and I have that battle. Woohoo! God is doing something great. And then the flesh comes along. Now here the flesh is mocking, but I think for most of us, here's what the flesh does. Man, I am great, huh? Wow, look what God is doing. Well, really, look what I'm doing. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look what's happened. And you know, that's the world, right? But it's also our flesh, and our flesh begins to creep in, and our flesh wants to get a hold of us. And our flesh, listen, wants to destroy what the Spirit is doing and take our eyes off of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, you have this battle going on. Levi said, right? He said it well. We need that shield. The shield of faith. Do you put on your armor? I put on my armor every single morning. Why? Because I know I'm facing a battle every single day. Not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a Christian. And I have a battle going on every day. I don't think my God would have given me the armor if I didn't need to use it. And so I put it on every day. I remember when I was in the military back in the dark ages. We used spears. That's what somebody accused me of. They say, I don't know what army you were in, but... And I remember every day we had to get our gear. Every day we had to put it on. Every day we had to be ready. And you know what? God didn't give us that spiritual armor to read about it or to get a cool coin or to get a cool poster or whatever. He gave us a spiritual armor to put on every day. And we have a battle, and I know, listen, I know for me, after the greatest fulfillment and the greatest joy with the Lord, I know there's going to be a battle. And most of the time, for me, it's against the flesh. Hey, Pat, don't you ever think you're all that, because you are not. It's God doing it. And so now we have this tremendous battle. And what happens, listen, what happens in this particular battle, here's kind of the crazy thing. It says, Sarah saw it, verse 10, therefore she said to Abraham, cast out that bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. Sound familiar? Man, Sarah is like a broken record at times, huh? Didn't she do this a while back? Didn't we read about this sometime? It was before that boy was born, right? We read, get him out of here. Get her out of here. Get that woman out of here. I can't believe you slept with her, Abraham. What's the matter with you?
And now, listen, now she just says it. So, I mean, it just kind of bums me. I feel bad for Hagar. Get rid of that bond woman and her son. Now, you know what? You really can't blame Sarah too much, because look at what Abraham has done to Sarah, right? But let me ask you something. That sounds a little harsh and a little heavy. Is it the right thing to do? If you've read on, Here's the thing. Abraham's got to decide, do I listen to my wife again? Last time I listened to my wife, the lady went out and came back, right? She went out and came back. Do I listen to my wife? And listen, I think this one's kind of interesting, because Abraham takes a little bit of a different course, but do I listen to my wife? Hey, men in ministry, let me tell you something. Listen to your wives. Yeah. I thank God every day for my wife. And I thank God for the counsel that my wife gives me. And I'm able to turn to her and ask her, hey, honey, what do you think of this? And you know what? My wife is right, I would say, 99% of the time. She gives me great counsel, and she sees things I would never see. And she has she's got a discernment that I would never have. And I'm just going along, and I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to do this. And she goes, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And the cool thing is, my wife is very compassionate. I'm not. I don't even know if I can spell compassion. And I'm not boasting. I mean, that's just who I am. And, you know, God has taken me through some things and made me a lot more compassionate than I used to be. And, you know, him and I had a discussion about that. And I go, okay, uncle, I give. I'll be compassionate occasionally. My wife sees that stuff, and listen, I hear her here, and here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, oh, Sarah, that's harsh. That's mean. Get rid of them. Send them out. Now, look at this. Look at, she says that. Listen, and verse 11, and this matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. I bet it was, right? Hey, some of us have blended families. This is kind of a blended family. It's weird. It's their own blending, but they're putting it together. Get rid of your son. Get rid of that other son. Get him out of here. We don't want him around here. It's displeasing to Abraham. It should be displeasing to Abraham, right? Abraham's going, wait a minute. This is Ishmael, although we don't say his name through this whole text. This is my son. This is my flesh. I don't want to get rid of my son. But I want to listen to my wife. What do I do? What do you do when you're in a dilemma? What do you do when you're in that place where, wow, I don't want to do this, but I know this. I don't. You know what we need to do is we need to go to the Word of God, right? We need to go to the Lord in prayer. We need to find out, God, it doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't really matter what Sarah wants. God, what do you want us to do, right? What direction should we go? And so Abraham does that. Listen, it's displeasing to Abraham. He went to his son, but God, in verse 12, but God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a great nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. Abraham, do whatever Sarah says. Really, God? I got to send my son away? Yeah. You got to send him away. I don't want to send him away. I don't want to do that. Well, it's time. You got to send your son away. But Lord, he's my son. Do you notice what God said? I know he's your son. God said, I know, right? Didn't he? I know this is your son. But here's what you need to know, Abraham. I love your son more than you love your son. And I'm going to take care of your son. And your son's going to be fine. But here's what you have to do. You've got to be obedient to me right now, right at this moment. Hey, you did the circumcision thing. Good guy. Let's see if you can get two for two. And I'll let you rest for a while. You're going to be obedient? That's heavy, isn't it?
It's heavy that God said that, but listen carefully. God says, I'm going to take care of him. He's going to be fine. Hey, many nations are going to come out of him. Why? Because that's what I promised you. And God always keeps his promises. He is faithful to keep his promises. He has never not kept a promise. He's that good. So listen, take her and send her out. Now this is where, to me, it gets really interesting. He says, I'm going to take care of him. Verse 14, so Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it to the, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed, wandering in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, number one, notice, here's the thing that, I don't get. He takes this stuff, and where does he put it? On her shoulder, and then she takes the boy and leaves. He's 17 stinking years old. He could carry the water and the bread. How many of you moms would pick up the load and carry it if your 17-year-old standing next to you? You'd go, get that stuff, unless he's spoiled. Maybe he's that spoiled. Maybe he's acting like a 3-year-old. Maybe he is a 3-year-old. Maybe he's always been treated as a 3-year-old. Come on, I got your hand, Johnny. Let's cross the street. Mom, I'm 17. I'll carry this stuff. That part blows my mind. He didn't give it to the boy, he gave it to her. And he told her to carry it, and he told him. And then he go out to the wilderness of Beersheba. The wilderness of Beersheba is When you go to the wilderness of Beersheba, even today, you go to the wilderness, you go to Beersheba, and the only thing cool about the wilderness of Beersheba is the city of Beersheba. And it's like Israel today in 2015. Israel today made Beersheba the center. It's their Silicon Valley, if you will. It's their technological center. And they did it just to get people to go out there, because there's nothing there. And so, listen, it wasn't there yet. The technological center was not there yet. And so here's Sarah wandering in this desert. And, you know, us from Arizona, we know desert, right? They're wandering around, and she's got the water. She's carrying water. Come on, little Ishmael, that we're not saying your name this whole time. Come on, the son of the bondwoman. You know, let's go. Come on, let's go. And she's carrying the water here. Do you want a little drink here? Okay, I got the water. Let's go. And they're wandering around. And listen, I think Hagar's going, what happened? Do you remember when the children of Israel wandered around the desert for 40 years and they came out of Egypt? And you remember when every time they got depressed? Do you remember what they said? Oh, man, if we could only go back to Egypt, right? And leeks and onions and just get back there, man. We just want to go back to Egypt. And you think that was in Hagar's heart right now? If I could just get back to Egypt. Rejected, put out, in the middle of the desert with one skin of water and some food and a 17-year-old. Imagine being in the desert with a 17-year-old. There's nothing to do. This is boring. Why are we in the desert? I hate the desert. Why'd you bring me out here? Because you're 17, that's why. If you don't shut up, I'll leave you here. In Jesus' name. You're wandering around with this kid. Listen, I just get this picture, and it's just like, that had to be horrible for them, right? And they're going around, listen, they're going around, they're wandering around, and then they run out of stuff. What you're going to do, you know, this is going to, can you imagine what was going on in Abraham's head? Man. You know, I think by now, listen, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, I think by now there was a little bit of bonding between Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Hagar. Come on, she had his kid. She was there. And I definitely know he loved Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, who we're not going to say his name. And he sends him out. He knows. Listen, do you know what he realized? I'm sending them to their death. They're going to die. They can't survive out there with a skin of water and a little bit of food. But God told me to do it. Man, that's obedience, isn't it? Oh, man, that is huge obedience. Okay.
I'm going to do it. Hey, next, Malcolm's going to give us the other bit of obedience, but this is some huge obedience too. He's sending them out there. And look at it happens. Look, check out verse 15. And when the water in the skin was used up and she placed the boy under the shrubs, then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. Listen, every time I read this, I think, okay, now they ran out of stuff. And Hagar does what moms do. She goes into the freak mode, right? And she puts the boy in a bush and goes about the distance of a bow shot. That helps a lot. Like, I totally know how far that is. It's like, why don't you just, like, give me meters or something and tell me, was it a compound bow or was it a regular bow? Because I want to know exactly how far. So listen, she's away, she's over there, and it says, listen, she's at the distance of about a bow shot, and she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. Here's what she's doing. She's freaking out, right? Because that's what moms do. No offense, moms. You love your kids. Now, something fascinating, he's 17, and she shoves him under a tree. Like, okay. And then she goes over here. He's not three. He's not a little guy. And then she goes and she says, calls out to God and says, don't let me see the boy die. Yesterday, was it yesterday or day before? Last time she was in the desert, you remember? Remember when she was in the desert and she was pregnant? Remember what she called God in the desert? Here's what she called God in the desert, the God who sees. How quickly we forget when God does things, right? God found her. God saved her. God took care of her. God made sure she was okay. And here's what she said. I've just been in the presence, and I'm paraphrasing, of the God who sees. I'm going to call him the God who sees because he's the God who sees. Now she's in this predicament, and here's what she says. Yeah, you're the God who sees, but I forgot that because I'm freaking out right now. And what I know, when I start freaking out, I forget everything that God has ever shown me and ever said to me because I'm too busy freaking out. And so listen, she's freaking out and she says, I don't want to, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and she lifted her voice and she wept. She's weeping and crying and she says, I don't want to see him die. I don't want to see this happen. This can't be happening, right? I mean, isn't that what happens to us when we get like to the end of things? And we're just like, oh, and we're freaking out. I remember as a 17-year-old watching my mom freak out. 17-year-old boys don't like to watch their moms freak out because it's like, Mom, you're embarrassing me. And she's like, she's so, so distraught. Her son's dying. Don't you want to kind of knock? Do you ever want to jump in your Bible? Jump in there. Hey, Hagar, I've read the rest of the chapter. Chill. Or how about this one? Hey, Hagar. Don't you remember the God who sees? Remember. You know, somebody told me something years ago in ministry, when I got ready to go in ministry. And I planted a church in Bisbee. By the way, which Daniel Fusco did not bring up as one of the hardest places to plant a church. I had a discussion with him about that. But I remember going to plant the church in Bisbee, and I remember this brother in the Lord. Here's what he said to me. I've never forgotten it. And I share it with all the young guys. He says, Pat, never be afraid of in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Man, that has got me through so many tough times. Hagar, don't forget in the dark what God has shown you in the light. He showed you. He showed you he cared for you. He showed you he saw everything. He showed you that he cared for Ishmael. He showed you those things. He was there for you. He met you there in the wilderness that time. He's the God who sees, Hagar. So she's crying and weeping. Now check this out, because this is rather amazing to me. Look at, she sat down, she's weeping, she's crying, she sat opposite, she lifted up her voice. Verse 17 is kind of interesting. And God heard the voice of the lad. Excuse me? God heard, once again, we're still not given his name. God heard the voice of the lad. Here's what blows my mind. Who's praying? Not Hagar. Who's praying? Ishmael. We don't want to say his name. Ishmael's praying. Remember what his name is? God hears. Isn't that interesting? Maybe that's why we're not talking about his name. We don't want to be reminded, right? But listen, does that blow your mind? God heard the voice of the lad. Mom's over there freaking out, thinking we're all going to die. And here's the 17-year-old. Huh? Hallelujah. He probably went to a good Calvary Kids Club. 17, here he is. His mom goes, get under there and die. And he's going, I'm not going to die under a bush. What's my name, Mom? What's my name? What's my name? Ishmael. What does Ishmael mean? God hears. I'm talking to God. I'm not talking to you anymore. Isn't that cool? Doesn't that kind of bless your heart? Listen, and on the other hand, remember what we've been talked about and what David told us? Remember what David told us? That sometimes we just write off the Arab people? Just blow them away? Here's the father of the Arabs. What's he doing? He's calling out to God. And what does it say? God heard him. How cool is that, right? He's under the bush going, Lord, help that woman. Do something with her. And get me out from under this bush. I'm under the bush. So listen, God heard. Listen, I love this. God heard the voice of the lad. And then the angel of God came to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Seriously, seriously, angel, what ails me right now? What do you think ails me right now? I'm in the middle of the desert. I don't have any water and I got a 17-year-old kid. I love this angel just shows up. What ails you? It's like, you're an angel. You've been watching this for a while. What do you think ails me? My son's dying. I'm stuck out here. I got no water. Listen, what ails you? And then it's great, isn't it? Listen. It says, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I got stuck for a minute. But look, we need to remember that, don't we? Hey, when it gets hard and that flesh is fleshing out, fear not. And he says, listen, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. What is God doing once again with Hagar? He's reminding her of what he said he was going to do, because God is going to do it. God is going to do it. And you and I need that all the time in ministry. At least I do. Maybe you guys like got it together. And I go through things and I think, listen, hey, when you have to make a tough decision in ministry, like Abraham had to make sending his son away, you make tough decisions like that. It's not fun anymore, is it? All of a sudden you're thinking, man, all I want to do is teach the Bible. And now I'm having to make tough decisions. Now I'm having to, I'm responsible for some people's lives. I'm responsible for what's going on. And you know, all I did, I think about, and I can't remember who shared it, I think about when he said, all we wanted to do, we got saved, we just wanted to love Jesus and teach the Bible. And he goes, oh yeah, well now all this other stuff comes on. And you got to make a tough decision. You got to remember what God has promised you. And you got to go back. Hagar, remember what God promised? Back last time we were out in the wilderness. We did this thing, you know, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18 years ago. We're back at it and we're doing the same thing. And you and I need to learn in ministry, man, you know what? You may repeat the same thing a few times before you finally get it, but that's okay. Don't get all freaked out. Don't get all uptight. So I got the boy, listen, and I'm going to make him a great nation. Then look at verse 19. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Now, does that kind of blow your mind? Here's my mind's eye. She's over there. She's like wailing. She's got these big old crocodile tears in her eyes, and she's looking up to heaven, and the whole time there's a stinking well right there. And the angel goes, look at the well. Or do you think he just miraculously put it there? What you want? You know, something happened, right? Because he says, open up your eyes and there's a well. Wow, where did that well come from? Well, if you weren't so busy freaking out, you might have seen the well. And that's what happens in ministry, isn't it? We get something, and something starts going on, and something starts going south, and something starts happening, and we get in a freak mode, right? Because here's what I know. When I'm in a freak mode, I'm in a freak mode, and I can't say anything but freak. And you're all uptight. And God says, open your eyes. Check this out. It's right in front of you. It's always been right in front of you. It's always right there. Just take a step. Open your eyes. Trust the Lord. So listen, open your eyes. There's the well. And then God opened her eyes, and she saw that the well of water, and she went and she filled the skin with water, and she gave it to the lad. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Of course he did, because his mom went a bow shot away. We saw that one coming, didn't we? And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. So there it is. The flesh goes its way, the spirit goes its way. And you and I need to realize, beware of the flesh. Then on the other hand, we need to realize, man, when we get in those impossible situations, there's only one way out. And that's God, and trusting God, and believing God in those situations. You know what? You do that, you're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. And God is going to use you in a mighty way. Trust Him. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you once again today. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for, Lord, just the faithfulness that we see. And Lord, I just think again about this whole idea with the promise. And Lord, it is kind of amazing you spent such little time on the promise and a lot of time on how we deal with the issue of the flesh and how we deal with circumstances. That God, I pray that we would understand the promise is a given. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to figure it out. We just have to believe it. The thing that's an obstacle in our lives is the flesh and circumstances. And I pray we would learn to dedicate those to you. Fight the flesh, get the flesh out of the way, and look at the circumstances through spiritual eyes. So, Lord, thank you for the men and women gathered here doing ministry, all of us getting to do what we get to do is an amazing, amazing thing. And Lord, I pray that we would not ever tire of God honoring you and glorifying you with the things you've given us in our hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you, guys.